Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three. Dirt and Sprague here. Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan. 1080 AM, The Odyssey app. Live on YouTube.
I had a
happy Monday, everybody.
Weekend, I was driving behind a bigger truck, slightly lifted truck.
A big old rig.
I just drive past these trucks now and I go, what is your gas bill like?
It's expensive, Bob. It's expensive. As somebody who drives a little truck, let me tell you, my little truck, very expensive.
Well, I'm just wondering with these F-350
when
guys,
we had
right?
to go to when I had to go to Eugene on Thursday, it was a, hey, honey, I'm taking the Subaru. My club's fit in the back of there. Dude. Hopefully you don't need a car for the day. I'm not taking the truck.
But I'm driving around Damascus, Oregon, and there's this big lifted truck that I'm behind. Mm-hmm. Right side, it says, what's the, it's like Bible, God, love type sticker thing.
Okay.
It's basically, that's what the sticker is.
Yeah.
On the left side, the sticker is like, if your girl don't hock two of that thing. And I go... To have both stickers.
Did Jesus believe in that? was that a stance of Jesus's?
I wasn't there. I ain't gonna comment. I'm diving into those waters, dude.
I have no firsthand knowledge.
The book says no.
The book's anti-Hoctua?
Well, you specifically that guy. That's okay. All I'm saying.
Okay.
But to have both those stickers on your truck, I'm like, do you ever just look at one side and go,
the dichotomy of man.
Not that you can't be imperfect.
It's like seeing the social media. I always love when those pop up of like people saying the most vile, ridiculous things online, and then people clicking their profile and it's like father of two, follower of Christ. Like, dude, you are a horrible person. You cannot hide under the guise of religion to act like you're not a terrible person. You're awful. Just because you go to church on Sunday does not mean that you're not an awful person.
Yeah.
You're a terrible human being.
It tends to be pretty awful in female-related topics, and you click it and it says hashtag girl dad mm-hmm. in the bio, and you're like,
somebody online telling Mina Kimes to sit down and shut up and go make them a sandwich.
Yeah.
Hashtag girl dad. Oh, yeah. Really? Is that how you feel about females working in the sports industry? What is the matter with you, man? God, those ones crack me up. I see those quite often. Not quite to that. I've never seen a Hawk 2 a bumper sticker, but there's people that we know that everybody has them in your life that, like, you use the idea of religion to mask other thoughts and opinions that you have.
It covers
it
up.
It drives me absolutely bananas.
Well, that's because the Father will forgive.
The Father will forgive. I've been told that. We do have a lot to get to in this hour of radio. There's a couple other quick tidbits I wanted to get to. I got some NFL stuff in my notes, by the way, including hot takes. Which one do we think is most accurate? Also, does a trade go down today? Mm. So all that is around the corner. How much of the other general college baseball have we been watching? Have we been following? Have we been keeping tabs on? Seeing any of it or just seeing scores?
I saw...
I mean, it's okay. Be honest.
Yeah, I saw more of the Women's College World Series than
the Women's College World Series has been awesome, dude. The Texas Tech stuff and everybody hating them is hilarious.
It's pretty good.
Everybody hates them.
Yeah, Texas Tech is, I think, in almost any sport going to become very hateable.
We had like a Zapruder film breakdown of a coach and a former player in a handshake line trying to make out what was said or not said in that moment. Was it Tennessee?
I think it was
Texas
Tennessee.
Tech. Yeah. And the girl transferred from Tennessee to go to Texas Tech, and then we had a whole brouhaha after the game, and they were doing like a, so here's the handshake line. You're going to notice, here comes the coach, here comes the player.
And like, you got to start reading before they
try and like read the
other.
Lips. What it was hilarious, dude. It's been phenomenal entertainment.
But not a whole lot.
Not a whole lot. Okay.
I saw UCLA go down. I watched a little bit and maybe too many innings of that. It was a Kansas-Arkansas game that wouldn't end.
God, that game went forever.
Go away.
Yeah.
Forever. Other than that, dude, I've seen some scores, but not much.
Okay, well, we have 7 games remaining on the elimination regional final games. Like, there's 7 of them today.
Yep.
For teams with a chance to punch their ticket. Couple of quick notes for you, because, now that my team's a blue blood in college baseball, I'm following the sport.
Well, you have to.
I have to keep up on it. We're still playing. We got a super regional next week. Dare I entertain you? Hold on, let me make sure I pull up my number so I get it correctly. Have you followed the Milwaukee story?
Nope.
The Milwaukee Panthers. Okay.
Not at all.
Nope.
In any way.
You don't need to. It's okay. Okay. But let me educate you on the Milwaukee Panthers.
I'm very curious where you're going with this.
So they were the 4 seed in the Auburn Regional, the Milwaukee Panthers. Their record on the season is 27-32. I'm going to repeat that.
Are they playing for the regional?
The Milwaukee Panthers are 27-32. I'm going to pull it up because I want to make sure I get all my numbers right. They dominated UCF in their first game. They won another game. They are in the regional final today against Auburn, the home site team. They are 5 games below 500, 27-32. Their season started. Let me pull it up. Oh, you can't pull it up on ESPN.
You got to just Google their actual schedule.
Okay, let me pull up because there was a number out there of like the way that they started and how bad they legitimately were like 1-10 out of the gate of the season, and now they are they're 1 win away from going to. They play Auburn today in the Auburn regional final. Good teams, and they were getting absolutely. They got 10 run ruled by basically everybody.
So they started their season 4, 5, 6, 1-5.
1-5 out of the gate.
Yeah, 1-5.
5 games below 500.
No, 1-6. Yeah, 1-6 out of the gate.
They are in a regional final, so there's a rooting interest for you if you need anything today. The fighting Milwaukee Panthers. Is Milwaukee University? Is Milwaukee College? I've never heard of the Milwaukee Panthers before.
It used to be the University of Wisconsin Milwaukee.
Okay.
And then they just went to Milwaukee.
Dude, they were 2-14.
I'm not kidding. Like, it's
games.
Dude, it's insanity.
I'm looking they at were it horrible. Right now.
They were one of these, like, they won their conference tournament. This is like an Oregon State Elite Eight run where you're like, how is that? We fired the coach in the first month of the season. How are you in the Elite Eight right now? So I think we all need to come together collectively and root for Milwaukee.
It'd be a fun story, but they did get bludgeoned against Auburn in that last matchup.
Oh, they got killed. Yeah, they had a chance to win it, and they got killed. So they play regional final. That one's at like 3 on ESPNU. So if you're looking for a random rooting interest, that one's kind of fun. The only other takeaway I have, and I say this as somebody who is just beginning to follow college baseball this year.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome aboard, nerd. How are you?
You've been in a super regional before. You know that, right?
It's happened before. I'm sure it has. So we're good now. Anyways, the other takeaway was, why are we throwing guys out for doing the only thing that makes college baseball watchable? So you can, I don't know the kid's name off the top of my, let me see if I can find it.
There's the cocky sniffing stuff, the yelling at each other stuff.
There's a kid at Georgia, so he hits a bomb. They're playing Liberty yesterday. Trey Phelps, okay, he hits it's a sixth inning, they're down 1-0 against Liberty. He hits a 2-run bomb.
This became quite the.
Yeah, it's a little too much pimping for my taste. He turns around, yells something at a Liberty player. He's hollering at his own bench. I think he shouts something at the first baseman as he's running by.
Like they weren't yelling like, anything all game.
Like I get it. He's doing a lot. He's turning around, pointing at the third baseman, I think, as he rounds third. Like, I get it. It was aggressive. Can we also acknowledge, you guys can be in the trust tree with me here, okay? Because you're college baseball guys from your school.
He danced the whole way
the
around.
The whole way around. That's the way you should do it, baby. He gets tossed out of the game.
As soon as he touches home, the ref ejects.
You're out of here. 2-run shot, sixth inning. And the team's like, how is this? There's a lot of unwatchable aspects of college baseball. Let's use Oregon State's collapse in the seventh inning as an example.
Right.
I once saw my team lose a game on a walk-off balk. That happened, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of bad moments, and it's not the highest level of baseball being played. What makes it entertaining?
This. I would argue Major League Baseball needs a little more of this.
Agree completely.
This is what makes it exciting.
Like, this guy, go what? Just search Trey Phelps on Twitter, and if you have not seen the highlight of his home run, it's hilarious.
He doesn't even know he's ejected.
No, he has no clue.
It takes him a while for it to register. The coach comes out, he's screaming at the umps. They're having a big meeting.
Right.
But, like, here's the other part.
Like, this is what makes your product watchable. These kind of, like a guy striking somebody out and yelling a flurry of cuss words at him is what makes it entertaining.
Now, old baseball purists, they're going to get mad at this. But this is absolutely the way the game should be played now.
It absolutely is.
The whole, like, don't bet. What was it? The bat flips was a big story years ago.
Jose Bautista did it, and then he got his home face runs, knocked like, off the next year.
How dare you? Have some respect when you hit a home run. It's like, do the pitchers always have respect when they get strikeouts? Because I see the opposite thing happening.
Hurting your team. Those are the only ones that I will criticize of, like, you stood there and watched, and that ended up being a single off the
wall.
But
you end up paying for it.
You do. It hurts your team.
It comes back and bites you. So, like, if you pimp a home run, I have no problem with it. Oh, by the way, these guys chirp at each other the whole game.
The whole game.
Having covered OSU baseball and been up close and hearing it, man, those dugouts are talking to each other.
Yep.
So, like, I have no problem with a guy getting a home run, pimping it a little bit, and then barking at Liberty as he rounds the bases and at the dugout.
We tossed him out of the game.
It's a bit much.
Nobody's here to see you, umpire. I get it. If you want to say something to him as he's rounding home of like, dude, can we not do that again, please? He's probably not going to listen to you. It's a regional game. Like, well, this is the season is on the line. Guys are fired up. It's a 1-0 game in the bottom of the sixth inning. He hits a 2-run shot to give his team the lead. Again, season on the line. Yeah, he's going to be a little passionate and fiery. It was hilarious to watch. Of course it was over the top. If it was too far over the top, guess what Liberty can do? Plunk him the next time he comes up if you want to. Like, let the game police itself. There's a lot of moments when I'm watching a college baseball game where I'm like, this is not that fun. There's a lot of guys who can't throw strikes. It's not the best played. It's not the cleanest game out there. But the trash talk and the rivalry stuff make it fun. There were a lot of blowouts, a lot of team scoring. Like USC put 15 up on somebody yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like you get those kind of Oregon State and their wins over Yale. And I turned both those games off in like the third inning.
Yeah.
Because it was over. They weren't getting hits against you. And you were already up like 7-0. The game's over. So if you have something that makes your product entertaining and enjoyable, if I were the NCAA, I would step in here and say, give me more of this because it's entertaining.
Well, so I think the other part, too, is, not watching all of the games really and following per se of like, I don't know much about any of these rosters. For the second straight year, you had the number one overall seed get bounced in their regional. That just happened last year with Vandy. It happened this year at UCLA.
Shocking stuff.
Look at the elimination games and stuff going on today. You have number 12 Texas A&M on the ropes against an unranked USC.
Yep.
You have a top 16 ranked West Virginia on the ropes against Kentucky.
West Virginia hit a walk-off shot the other night that was a pretty cool highlight.
They came back in that one.
They came back, yeah, to stay alive.
Number 8 Florida is on the ropes against freaking Troy. And then you've got Auburn against that garbage Milwaukee team you
mentioned. Under 500 Milwaukee Panther team.
Georgia Tech is the number 2 seed. Yep. They're in an elimination game against unranked Oklahoma. Your 1 and 2 seeds potentially.
See you later, buddy.
Could be out in the regional.
Auburn's the 4 seed, I believe, and Florida's the 8 seed. So, I mean, you're talking teams.
There's 3 in the top 10 right there. You have Georgia Tech, Auburn, and Florida. And then you add A&M at 12 and West Virginia at 16. And that's not to mention in the top 10, Florida State.
Yes.
Now, I'd assume this is Florida State is the overall favorite because I think St. John's has the loss here. But if they lose, they have a rematch this afternoon.
Yeah.
And you might have 4 teams in the top 10.
Chaos.
5 counting UCLA. Half your top 10 could be bounced. I don't know how much of that is portal driven because I don't follow that sport specifically. But it makes for a pretty wild super regional matchup.
It does. Look, it's funny to kind of follow it now where you're jumping in late, and I certainly have done that with Oregon. But when your team's in the mix, you're going to follow the sport a little bit closer to see where we're going to play. And I saw a little bit of the Texas stuff over the weekend. They look like they got some dudes who can mash. So I think it's a byproduct of probably the portal, but also on top of that, just the idea, this is what we love about baseball, right? Like you just get a team who's randomly hot or one guy hits a couple of home runs in a game and you get a good pitcher. That's all it takes to win and pull off an upset. It's much more feasible than doing it in other, a football sport, even basketball. I know we'll get upsets in the tournament.
Yeah.
But in the long haul, eventually the Cinderella runs out. We've seen some random Cinderellas make it to the World Series before and some smaller programs and all of that. Oregon State certainly was that way back in the day before they turned into a powerhouse on the West Coast. So I think it makes for fun super regionals and random stories that are entertaining to watch come Supers next week.
And I think, Oregon winning, they got to the Big Ten championship. They turned over half the roster. They got young studs. Their pitching has kind of been their biggest bugaboo in this thing, and their pitching I thought was pretty good yesterday.
Pitching's been fantastic. They've been one of the best staffs in the entire, in all the regionals, their ERA, strikeouts, all that stuff.
So, and everybody, we had Krupke on and we had Parker on Friday, and both of them, Parker, not surprising, but Krupke picked Oregon State to win. So, like, I think more people thought OSU would win, but I don't know how shocking it is that Oregon was able to accumulate talent. The thing I wonder about for Oregon State is they still haven't won a road regional since 07. Mm. And I know they've hosted quite a bit, but they haven't won a road regional since 07. I think now their record is sub 500, whatever that is in total. It's more in the portal era. Are you keeping up as an institution? You're going into a conference next year.
Yes, you are.
So are you keeping up as an institution in the portal arms races? Because you can think baseball's not that big in the grand scheme, and I would largely agree. But other programs are. They're overturning rosters. Half of Oregon's roster being new is, to me, like, you probably had some graduating seniors, obviously, but also, like, that's the modern age of things now.
Mm-hmm.
How is Oregon State keeping up in that arms race? Because, yeah, you get to the regional, you get to a super regional, there's kind of, unfortunately for Canham, there's an expectation, right? And getting to Omaha is always the goal.
And they got there last year. Won a game.
I know. But it, to me, it's like losing in the regional but losing to your rival. It makes you have to look in the mirror a little more. And so for it, I was just wondering, as somebody not following it as closely as so many great Beaver fans, like, are they keeping up in the arms races, how they're doing in the portal, and how that's comping to other programs that do?
I think the difficult thing for them is going to be, and I don't blame them for the independent move the last 2 years, right? Try and schedule the best you can. It bit them a little bit this year, not getting the chance to be in a host a regional.
It definitely bit them.
But I think the biggest question I have going forward is when you're, I don't know what the composition of that as a baseball conference will look like, right? How many teams will be, it's not the old Pac-12. There's not a UCLA in there or an Arizona or a USC, right? There were very good programs in the old conference who have now all moved on. Can you get teams to schedule you enticing non-conference series, or is the only opportunity to play those games by playing in tournaments and getting a one-off game? I think that's the biggest question.
Are you better served to go to a Tennessee or go to a Vandy in a non-conference versus, say, let's meet and surprise Arizona?
If the teams want to play those, like, that's a difficult. We go through this at the end of the March Madness tournament every year, and the lower level conference teams and coaches will tell you they won't. Who was it this year? Was it the Miami Ohio coach? I can't remember, but remember one of the guys going on a rant after a game, like, these guys won't play us, we can't schedule them.
Yeah, it was Miami.
And then
Ohio.
It was one of the bigger coaches, maybe Wisconsin or somebody else, coming out, or the, I can't remember exactly, but it was basically like, why would we play you?
We don't benefit from
it. We get nothing for it. We have X amount of quad one games in our conference because our conference is already good. So we get, like, I understand that you want to play us, but he jokingly then was like, when you leave your small job and go to a bigger job, you're going to have the same philosophy about not scheduling them because it doesn't give you any benefit to play them. And so that's the biggest question I have about Oregon State baseball, is just how hard is it going to be to put that level of a lack of a better term, because I don't know what the term is in baseball, quad one type schedule.
Sure.
Because I don't know how many compelling matchups you're going to get inside your conference. You're going to need those. And I don't know if it behooves the teams in the SEC to schedule that against you, because we already know the SEC is a meat grinder. So why would we make our non-conference that much more challenging?
Yeah, I mean, I don't doubt OSU's willingness to play certain teams in that sport. They've certainly established the reputation, but I think it's more like how you balance that with diving back into a conference, because you've been conference-less for two seasons now, right?
So now you will have the benefit of, if you win the Pac-12, it's an automatic postseason bid, right? So you got that going for you. You didn't have that the last 2 years.
Yeah, but like,
but
you
making
know,
it to the postseason is not your goal.
Are you going to be good enough to host?
Yes.
I mean, that's ultimately going to be what they've got to go after. It's just a fascinating thing to think about. And look, the other side of it too, like Oregon getting to this point, first time they've taken on each other in the NCAA tournament, you're not wrong to point out this means a lot more to the OSU fan base. And so I think you're getting more people upset today. My buddy's a diehard Duck, went to Oregon. He was golfing in the middle of this game. I don't even know if he knows the score of this game. So, like, not that they don't care. It's just like, large people don't care. Yeah, so
we don't live and die with it the way you guys do.
Yeah, if you would have lost, it's fun, you probably still would have come in with all of your Oregon gear today and been like, yeah, well, it's football season. So I totally would have understood that. It's more like, do you keep up with everybody else that continues to roll on and develop in the portal era?
Yeah.
That was a fun thing to have, though, this weekend. There was a lot of little sports things that happened all weekend long. You had NCAA tournament baseball. You had Caitlin Clark here. I know you didn't watch, but you had this crazy ending to the Champions League between PSG and Arsenal for football fans.
Ooh, who won the Champions League?
PSG.
PSG.
Back-to-back champs. Dude, came down to penalty kicks.
Ooh, that's enticing. You know what I did this weekend? I started rewatching Ted Lasso.
Oh, really? To get ready for the summer release?
Not even that. I just, the idea of starting a new TV show is intimidating to me. Of, like, the volume of episodes and how long all of them are.
So, like, you went back to an old friend?
So I went back to an old friend.
Really?
It's like they're all 30 to 35 minutes.
Yeah, they're perfect.
It's over
yeah.
like that. It's yeah. just, it's the
Thorne's
such
got a late
a good show.
Penalty to get a draw.
Hey, look at that. Let's get thorny.
Are we... I'm sorry.
Was it a big game? Did they have a big opponent? Was there, like, something on the line, or just a
normal
game?
I'm not celebrating a draw.
We don't put those in there.
Premier League, yeah, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
I needed to feel good in my life.
But it was fun to have that atmosphere last night. A lot of orange at PK Park, and then Duck fans, to their credit, dude, they were loud. They were rowdy.
Let's not get it. We don't care that much. But I'm glad they were. It was
there.
Nice weather,
I mean,
and they showed up.
It was a good atmosphere.
It was a good atmosphere.
The Beaver fans made it good. It was got a little hostile. It was nice to have, to your point, on Wednesday.
When was the last time we had that much on the line in a Civil War game?
It's been a minute.
It's been a while, dude.
And I didn't feel that way about it. Like, I knew it was the matchup. I was like, yeah. And then you said that, and I started thinking, and I was like, he's right. We haven't had a lot of juice, and I don't know if we ever will. outside of this sport. This might be the only sport left
that could deliver it for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Wasikowski's done, like, I know Oregon hasn't been to Omaha yet, but he's done a really good job of, you know, they've been a consistent winner, and they've been to a couple of super regionals. They just can't get over it. This is probably where it ends for them this week,
because that's where history
works.
But it's college baseball. You never know.
That's right. You never know who gets hot, and the pitching staff seems to be better this year than it's been in years past. And Oregon State, like, I know that Beaver fan has always had a... bone to pick is the right phrase, but like Canham is held to a standard that is very difficult to live up to. Like, hey, go win championships. Like, that's not an easy thing to, you know, it's Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, right? Like, you could go to the playoff and go on a run. That's not good enough for Alabama fan. They're going to let you hear about it if you go 10-2 every year. And so he's been very good. He's also, by the way, had to navigate losing his conference, which was a very good baseball conference.
He had to make a decision, like,
independent.
How much of this,
do I join the Mountain West? Yep. Who do we schedule? Like, that, there has been a lot, not to mention guys, it just normally in the portal who are leaving for more money to SEC schools. Like,
no, you're getting outspent too. Like,
you're getting outspent.
Let's not lie to ourselves here. You're getting outspent by other programs in that sport. There's no doubt about that.
It's been challenging, no doubt, but I think you're spot on in saying this might be the one place where we can have a rivalry, because you guys genuinely care about it. We're Johnny come latelys, but if we're there at the end of the year, we'll turn it on. We'll get into it. I know Milwaukee's name now. He's hitting dingers. That's how we roll.
Would have been nice to know his. They go by Junior. I didn't know that.
Junior's his first name.
Well, not on the program that Swag gave me. It's a different name. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So I was like slowly reading it Friday. I'm like,
call him Junior. It's like our center. Just go Pancho.
Yeah, just go Pancho.
Pancho's easier. So good college baseball stuff over the weekend. It's been fun, man. Upsets, UCLA going down, Civil War happening. It's been entertaining, and we'll see how far Oregon's run can go now. The Oregon State's run has come to an end this weekend in the regional. Let's dive into the NFL. One team thinking about bringing an old player back. What could go wrong here? Here are 10 hot takes. How do we feel about them? And which one is more accurate? We'll dive into that next NFL Talk on the Fam. Welcome back in, everybody. It's 8:28 on a Monday morning. Hope your weekends were fantastic and you had a good time out there. Enjoy the weather. It's going to be hot today. Upper 80s today and tomorrow. We might get to 90 tomorrow. Get that AC cranking up. We are live on YouTube, as always. We're debating the market size of San Antonio somehow, some way in there. I
don't know why we're debating this. There's a little data out there. San Antonio is a small market. I'm sorry to report that news to you. It is.
I just glance over. I'm like, what are we yelling? Oh, okay. We're yelling about the size of San Antonio. That's what we got. Keep up the good work over there. We love having you here. I was genuinely bummed. I'm assuming you guys played the J.J. McCarthy audio at the end of last week. God, I missed that gold mine. I was, when I saw that later in the day.
Some really juicy stuff.
I missed that. I missed the Joey McGuire taunting, which, by the way, I'm sure you guys talked about it.
We did.
The audio is fantastic. If you've not seen the video.
Not play the audio.
Okay, didn't play the audio.
You did not pull it. I read the quotes,
though. Did you see the video of the audio?
Yeah, I saw after the show.
Okay. The best part about it is that it's some Big 12 media spring,
it's the
whatever.
Spring things, yeah.
And Rich Rodriguez is sitting next to him the entire time, laughing his ass off, listening to the Joey McGuire rant. Can I do something, though, that I never thought that I would do?
Oh, God. You're not going to do what I think you're going to do.
Can I stand up for Texas here?
Oh, you're an idiot.
Now,
you're an idiot.
Sark's, you know, running his mouth against everybody for no reason this offseason.
I said this Friday. I legitimately believe he's the most hated coach of the coaches, and I know Lane Kiffin exists.
You think Sark's more hated than Lane Kiffin? Just because he's taking shots at people?
Lane has pissed off Ole Miss, correct?
Well, Tennessee and USC.
Well, they kind of
Alabama
they
kind of hated him at the end.
Yeah, okay, but those places fired him.
They did. That they did.
But he's pissed off Ole Miss.
For sure.
How many schools has Sarkisian dove into this offseason of shot,
basket
shot.
Weaving?
I mean,
there's a little bit of that out there.
Come on, man.
I love the idea from McGuire. It's a can't lose PR strategy.
Absolutely. That's
like,
exactly
let's
what
go
I
play,
said.
Yep. And it's going to make Texas
we'll
look like little bees.
Yep.
Like, we're not going to back out of the game because we know Texas isn't going to do that.
Yep.
Texas plays Ohio State the next week.
Tough crap.
I mean, don't
pop off.
You know who Texas Tech plays the next week?
No.
You.
Oh, well, that's a juggernaut.
I'm sure if Texas came back, that would be the best way for Sark to respond.
We just lost the regional. We got a chip on our shoulder.
Sark coming out saying, hey, we'll play you guys in week one. You just got to flip game two opponents. Then do you want to do it? Because the answer would be no.
It doesn't matter.
This is not this. We're not the, playing the same sport. You Abilene, Quishon, and then Oregon State. They play Ohio State in week two.
Well, I know, but according to Sark, he only needs his twos and threes. Yep. The ones can rest to play Texas Tech.
That's the point.
Shut the hell up, Sark.
He did not say that against Texas.
Yes, he did.
He said we could win Texas Tech's schedule with our twos and threes. Not we can beat Texas Tech with our twos and threes.
But you can't,
that's literally not what he said.
But you can't pop off that you can win the schedule with your twos and threes and not expect team who has the schedule to go,
hold on.
Then let's play the game.
Texas Tech.
I don't want your twos and threes. Bring your ones. They want to do the ones.
Sark's a bitch. I get it.
Come get these ones.
I understand. We can all make fun of it. I'm rooting against Texas this year. It'd be hilarious if they fell on their face. Texas Tech doesn't play with anybody with a pulse all season.
They don't control that.
Yes, they do. You literally make your own schedule.
The Big Ten's
tough. It just came out from their head coach and their booster that they're willing to buy out anybody to go play anybody.
Well,
so if Texas says no, why don't you go play somebody in week one?
Because nobody's popped off except Sark. So it's time to
go find another big time opponent. Who do you want to go play? You got all the money in the world. Go do it.
Oh, no, not like Texas.
They're going to open with Abilene Christian and win the game by 70 and then play Oregon State in week two and probably win the game by 40 and go undefeated against their cakewalks. Schedule
easy with the 40 there. Can we say 30 and call good?
I mean,
do we need to go by 40?
Last year didn't go great in that game.
I think they had one of the worst coaches in the entire sport last year.
He was pretty bad. He gave up a lot of third and 29s. Texas is. I can't stand Sark.
But here's the thing.
This is the reason why it pisses me off though. Is that this is the exact point of the scheduling of like, wait a minute. Now you want us to buy out to go play you in week one and then Ohio State in week two.
See. The point to me isn't the takeaway is Texas. Look, Texas Tech's schedule is soft and non-con. I'm not arguing that.
And conference. They don't even BYU is the only team. They don't play them. They
can't
play
control the conference being good or not. That's not their control. Okay, the non-conference, I'm with you on. I keep highlighting this is an unnecessary comment. You can't win the SEC with your one, so why are you talking about what you can't do with your twos and your threes?
I agree completely with
that. So that's the only element of like, that's why I did love McGuire. Cody Campbell, not a big fan. Don't want this legislation to pass. I don't think it will, but we'll wait and see. Pate thinks it will.
There's good news in there for you, by the way. Did you just read some of the nuts and bolts of it?
I haven't read all the details on it.
So I went ahead and finished your thought on Texas Tech.
My whole point is just simply say, I love this for the sport. I went on a big thing on Friday of, I don't love a lot of sport that has become the WWE, right? Like, I don't have a problem with wrestling. If you want to watch wrestling, support wrestling, that's cool. But, like, when you're making my morning programs, my afternoon shows, let's bring on Jey Uso. I thought we were talking about the NFC West here. What are we talking about?
Real sports?
Jey, who's going to win the AFC South?
Let me read the script.
You know, like, there's an element that I don't like, all right? This is an element of pro wrestling entering sports that I love.
It's delightful.
It's never going to happen. He's in a win-win because he's going to call it out. He's going to challenge him. He's going to say, we'll pay it.
And Texas is never going to do this.
They can. They cannot take that game.
They're not going to take it.
But it makes them look better. And so in this element, I loved it for that reason.
Yeah, the only area that I will allow Texas to get away with it is that they are playing one of, if not the hardest non-conference game in the entire country.
Here's also my counter to your whole point.
They're playing Ohio State in week two.
How good would the Big 12 be if their punk ass didn't go to a different conference?
Completely.
Then it'd be Texas, Oklahoma, Texas Tech.
Completely agree with you. They should still be in the Big 12. Texas Tech, you got big balls. You know who else plays nobody in non-conference? Indiana. Why don't you call up Indiana and say, we'll pay for your buyout of Old Dominion and we'll play you in week one. Of course they're not going to do that because they'd rather play Abilene Christian, and he's only doing this knowing that there's zero chance that it's going to happen.
But that's the best part about it. Get to own Sark for no reason.
It's a dog barking behind a fence, and then you open the gate and it comes face to face with the other dog and they're like, just kidding, man. Just kidding. We didn't actually want to
play. Did you see, by the way, not to bring up Friday's show, but you didn't get to talk about some of this stuff?
No. The J.J. McCarthy one got me more hot and bothered than that one. I needed to share my two cents.
Have you seen the Carson Gordon story?
No, I have not.
Do you know who that is?
No, I do not.
So he is a two-sport, but he's largely a football player. He's a stud quarterback.
The UCLA kid. Yeah, I did see. I just couldn't remember his name.
Did you see the school rumored?
No, where's he going?
Cody Campbell.
He's going to. Oh, well, they need.
They
a quarterback.
They haven't announced it. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll go somewhere else. But he's transferring as a track athlete.
Soresby's not going to play, dude. The information coming out of that.
He should
is
not
insane.
Be allowed to play. Hot
no,
take.
No.
But Gordon's transferring as a track athlete.
Yes.
Who will also play football? And a lot of people are like, he's from Texas.
I'm shocked more kids haven't tried to pull that off.
This
be
is the first loophole of the transfer that
because the window
seeing.
Is still open for track athletes, not football athletes. Mm-hmm. You can't transfer anymore in football. Mm-hmm. You can do it in track. That's a good point. No, what I was going to say though, and I'll get to my NFL stuff here in a moment. So I was reading through some of the details of the bill. I don't know if it's going to pass or not. I'm not in tune with what Congress is
going to
do.
Pate thinks it's going to, but I don't know.
He
if
likes
I
its chances. There's
it
there's a lot of stuff in there that is turning the clock back. In some ways, people would say maybe good. Other people say maybe too extreme. The biggest thing that I'm curious of is the idea of pooling revenues between conferences.
Oh yeah, that
so
part of
essentially,
yeah.
like we all of the revenue we goes into one monies. General population pool, mm-hmm. and we share the monies, which the Big Ten and the SEC want nothing to do with. Do you know that if they are to add certain teams to certain conferences in the group of six or whatever we're calling it now, mm-hmm. they theoretically could have enough votes to pass that on their own without needing votes from the Big Ten or the SEC. So in the legislation, it said if the majority of the members of the conferences in the whatever the division one, whatever the phrasing is,
right.
if the majority of the teams decide to vote a certain percentage to pool rights, the conferences then have to pool their rights. And everybody said, well, there's no way the Big Ten and the SEC do it. They might have enough votes without a single vote from the Big Ten and the SEC, which would shake up everything about college athletics.
The reason I don't think this passes is half of this stuff is going to get filed. There's going to lawsuits all over,
but that's
this.
Where the antitrust stuff comes in. Antitrust means that you cannot file lawsuits against us.
I get it. I just don't know if enough people are going to hop on.
I have no
it.
Clue. I have no clue if it'll actually pass or not. And there's a lot of good. There's a lot of bad in there. That's kind of the, I guess that's the meat and potatoes of every bill you look at.
Like, why should a kid only be able to transfer once? What are we really doing there? We're just mad because we don't know the names of the guys on our teams, right?
No, I think you're trying. I don't know if one is the right answer. I do think you are trying to.
If you can't
put guardrails back on the highway,
but
you
can't
will.
Recognize them as an employee and sign them to 2-year deals, then what do you want them to do?
I know. Pick the right school the first time. If not, then the second
some
time.
Some of these guys are just jumping for money.
They are
cashing those checks.
They are. Yeah.
I think this is a Cody Campbell bill.
Yeah, not all the stuff that's in the bill was stuff that Cody Campbell wanted, but he's now supporting the bill. I think they're going to run ads during the NBA Finals or something about from his group, Save College Sports or whatever. So they're all about it.
I love the Save College Sports shtick. Right. Get out of here.
As he's buying a softball team and paying for all these kids to train. He's getting a UCLA kid to enter the portal as a track athlete.
Give us money. It's COVID. We're poor. Here's $90 million to be fired.
Yeah, I certainly see both sides of the debate. Like, I think there's definitely need for some sort of guardrail, some sort of system. I don't, maybe just passing something that said there could be a commissioner that's in charge of this that oversees things. So it's not every conference for their own. Like, there needs to be something done. I certainly understand your point, though, of why is that limitation in place? Because anybody, you can't say a coach can only leave a job once every 4 years. Although it was in the bill that you would not be allowed to take another job in the middle of the season.
Well, according to John Summerall, he'd still be at Tulane if they would have prohibited from coaching in the playoff.
He said, I could never do it. I could never not coach my team in the playoff.
Come on.
Easier said than done there, John.
I want to root for you, John Summerall, but geez, dude.
A la Joey
McGuire.
Easier said than done.
Get out of here with that nonsense.
Texas is going to cancel the game. All right, I got sidetracked there yelling about Texas and Texas Tech. Football, fill my hole. We need you. Let's get to a couple of NFL things, including the idea of re-signing a player. And 10 hot takes, which one is the most accurate? Get to that next on The Fan. All right, we're done yelling for now, I think. Maybe. How about this one? What could possibly go wrong?
I can't believe you defended Sark. That was gross.
It's not a defending Sark. It's more of a taking a shot at Texas Tech. Of like, I hate.
They kind of started. Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Sark started it. I get it. You went on a rant that you know is not going to conceivably happen just for a PR win when you play Abilene Christian in week one. You're going to be a 20-point favorite in every game you play all year. Unless you have quarterback issues. This is a reunion that we need to see and I want to see.
Mm.
So we got a lot of stuff. You know, the hot stove is still burning in the NFL, if you will. There's some available wide receivers. Stephon Diggs has not still been signed.
He's 100 available. Days until, by the way, the NFL's back.
100 days away. Brandon Ayuk and his fat ass are available if you want to trade anything for him. I'm sure the Niners will give him to you.
You're probably not going to trade him, but they're going to have to make him a free agent, I think, by...
They're waiting for a certain date, right?
Deadline to cut coming up, yeah.
I mean, his guaranteed money's already gone because he didn't show up for anything, and so he's screwed either way.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a day they're going to screw him over as much. Like, hold him on.
Them over, right. So yeah.
We're going to hold you accountable as long as we can. There's another wide receiver available who is now making a second visit with the team.
Mm.
And it's a team who might be needing a position or a player at that position whose quarterback and defensive linemen have been in the news recently. That is the New York Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Have brought Odell Beckham back in for another offseason visit. And he is hanging out with them. And there is now a rumor on the streets that OBJ and the Giants are reuniting.
Well, he's also working out for Kansas City.
Yes, he is.
Should be noted. He's making the rounds to a couple teams that
when
are looking for...
When was the last time OBJ played? He did not play last year, to my knowledge, right?
Was it Baltimore?
No. Where did he play in 2024? Play that fun game.
Miami.
Yes, good call.
Miami, yeah.
Yeah, he was in Baltimore in 23.
Yeah.
So he missed all of the 2022 season after
the
ACL with the Rams Super Bowl.
Yep.
23 played for Baltimore, 565 yards and 3 TDs.
Yeah.
2024, Miami, 9 games. He had a total of 9 catches for 55 yards.
I mean, here's the reality, man. Like, that signing will mean nothing.
No.
We're just him.
The point is, if you're the Giants.
Joey Bosa, these are names we know, but they don't. Right. Just don't make impacts, man.
Did you have fun talking about J6 and Abdul Carter at the end of last week? Did you play that audio?
JD6.
My apologies.
Don't forget that, D.
Although
some people will be dropping it on purpose.
They absolutely will.
Did you
be.
See his is clearly written for him
oh, I
by
saw
a
the,
PR
I
staff?
Saw the, yeah, I saw them both.
Somebody followed up and asked a question. Is like, can you understand why this would be divisive? And he was like, yeah, you know, back to my original opening statement.
I'm going to point you back to the beginning of my press conference. Also, the one thing I knew coming out of that controversy was that the winner of it all would be Jameis Winston. And he went on another
route
that I'm like, I want to play for this guy. I hope you become a coach someday.
He did like a history lesson.
You were fantastic,
Jameis,
dude. Like,
that was, very interesting.
I'll overlook the crab legs. You were phenomenal. And that was a great takeaway. The point, though, being on the Giants, like, they're a team who's made a move at head coach, has a young quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, there's the framework is there. What do they desperately? We don't know when their number one wide receiver is going to be available. He had another cleanup procedure on his knee.
They said that's no big deal.
Of course, that's what they all say. And maybe it ends up being nothing. The point being, you probably need some wide receiver help. How does it behoove you to bring a guy in who didn't play last year and when he played 2 years ago had a total of 9 catches in 9 games?
I think my biggest thing with them, because I've noted before, like athletes in high school, college, pros, like they just operate in a different ecosystem. They don't hear the same things we do. And that's not to say all of them. There's just a big percentage of them. I really am kind of wondering if this is going to create it's created such a weird environment around it. And I know they've all come out as an organization. John Harbaugh came out. Carter, they like had a big team meeting about it. And I find the whole thing, it's odd. Yeah. And so like if you tell me, and then like Odell offers nothing, in my opinion, for them. You can say whatever, it's football, they'll move on. Yeah, guys have different political viewpoints in every locker room. That's not
in every
news.
Workplace, in every office in America, we all have to deal with that.
But it's more about how public it becomes and how loud the noise is. And that's the area that I wonder of, like, does this create, like, the minute they go on a 3-game losing streak.
Does that come up?
And the J6er doesn't play well. Is there going to be that report that comes out? You know, many have pointed out his leadership problem or this, you know, that's when the leaks start. And that's for John Harbaugh. That's got to be something that he's got to get ready to address. But if I've read some of the Baltimore stuff, and it basically was in that locker room, they wanted him fired far quicker or before the end of the season. And they weren't going to do that to him because he won a Super Bowl. But
no, he'd been there for
he had lost a little bit of that leadership cachet that he had for so long. So
it runs its course after a while.
Well, he has to revamp it now. And
yes,
now you're
does.
A different version, different new team, new leadership role. Like, get ready to deal with it. You've already it's already been stepped in. You got to deal with it as it goes on in the season if they struggle a little bit.
I think what helps them the most in this moment is the idea that there's a bigger controversy out there in the NFL that will trump theirs. No pun intended.
I was going to say.
No pun intended, but it's, no, I mean, I it's know. The Vrabel-Rossini thing, yeah. Which will be like 1A, and this is like, you know, 3 or 4 on the list.
Well, Miles Garrett already pay attention. He's going to get traded. Like, that's right. Become a big talking point now, right?
So wins can fix all this stuff. I'm with you. There's a weird vibe to it. You get guys saying there's no big deal, and it's like, okay, we'll see how this actually plays out on the field. Maybe there is a nothing burger here, and Harbaugh's great, and Dart's fantastic, and Carter has a big year. We'll get to him in a moment on some predictions for the upcoming season. But I'm with it. Just something you file away for right now. It was funny to see their written responses that they both read. And Jameis won the day. We had another bit of news that connects locally. Not that we need to share that many thoughts on it, but I just thought it was interesting. The Vikings have hired Nolan Teasley. I'm assuming that's how you say his last name, to be their next general manager. He worked with Seattle for the last 13 seasons. Think of a Joe Cronin, if you will, moving on. He started as an intern and moved all the way up to assistant general manager. They, of course, fired their guy for paternity leave. I'm just kidding. That's not the only reason. But they fired their general manager, who, ironically, was a part of the J.J. McCarthy decision, who is now benched and not happy about it in Minnesota. And we knew that they were going to hire somebody eventually.
He's not benched yet.
Still vying for the job. Still vying. But this, I mean, Seattle wins the Super Bowl. It's like, all right, they've drafted really well. They've done a good. Okay, who should we go after and go get? It's like having an assistant coach with
McVay.
Sean McVay. Yeah. And he's like, all right, you're going to lose your assistants every year. That's the case with Seattle. So they're losing. I think he was their assistant general manager for the last 3 years, and he's moving on to Minnesota.
Yeah, I had read this as a little bit of a roll of the dice hire by Minnesota, but
is he a younger guy? Why is it a roll of the dice?
It's just more a little unproven, not as talked about maybe as some of the other names that they thought they might go to there. They still people in Minnesota, not that they're like shocked they made their decision. It was more the timing of it. And so I think it's more about are you kind of behind the eight ball a little bit here? You're dealing with this Kyler and JJ stuff. We played the audio of JJ last week. And he's like, you know, if they take the reins, I'll be disappointed. It's like, dude.
Where do you think this is going, buddy?
They're taking the reins. The reins have been taken.
Have you looked in a mirror recently? Did you watch any tape
from last
season?
The NFL provided for us last week with OTAs. When you left for Wednesday, I was like, I got Thursday. What's Friday going to be? Friday just lined up juice after juice. And then we had our guests and Bill Orme screaming at me. But the NFL OTA stuff's been fascinating, man.
It has, dude. It's been fun. I mean, it's just a reminder this time of year. Like, you get this throughout the summer, too, when you get, like, a preseason game. That doesn't matter, and I get people to poo-poo it. But, like, the first time it's back on your screen, you're like, ah, this feels good, doesn't it? Like, it just kind of it warms your heart. So the NFL's doing that right now with OTAs going on, and there's a lot of headlines. Let me throw some of these at you.
I also proclaimed my AFC champion already.
Oh, who's your AFC champion? I'm on the Cowboys in the NFC. You know that.
Well,
who's your AFC squad?
If they get to week one and the tackles are healthy, I'm taking Chargers to win the AFC.
You're taking the Chargers to win the AFC? What could go wrong?
I'm going to jinx them?
No, I'm just saying, if you know, welcome to the ride, buddy.
But if their tackles are hurt and we're starting week one, I'm getting out of that thing.
He's our guardian of victory.
Although maybe the Bears thing makes me reconsider getting
Don't
out of
Don't back
stuff.
Off.
Don't
you back shouldn't. Off. Do not flip it. If you pick that, do not flip it.
One of the worst flip it stickets
what
of my
were you
life.
Thinking?
Everybody was laughing at me.
God.
You thought I was an idiot.
I did. I called you an idiot. Think about how much better that recalling of an idiot is at the end of the year. When the Bears win the division.
I know.
They were a play away from going to the NFC title game, dude.
I know.
It's pretty wild stuff. Yeah, I don't blame you for the thought. They need their tackles to stay healthy, though. And will they stay healthy? I don't know. I certainly love the OC edition. You know how I feel about my guy Herbo.
Yeah.
Big fan. They're saying both of them are going to be healthy for training camp. Like, that's all the reporting is, that they'll be available. They're fine. They're progressing where they're supposed to. What are the chances you have back to I'm not going to say that. Not even going to say it.
What?
Not even going to say it. Nope. I'm not going to put anything out in the universe.
Back-to-back years of injuries?
No, that's not what I was going to say at all.
Okay.
I think they're going to stay healthy this year.
Well, they're not going to play. I don't even think we'll see them preseason. I think they're going to wrap them in bubble wrap and be like, you guys know how to play football. We'll just wait till week one.
That happens. What's the Herbert narrative?
If they win the AFC?
If they win the AFC.
I mean,
it's gone, right?
Well, the narrative doesn't. What's the narrative?
See what happens when you have a competent offensive mind designing and calling plays for him.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, yeah. See what happens when things go in his favor.
But I think more, we hear from a lot of people who are not logical or hate him because he's a duck or whatever.
Sure. Maybe they're anti-Madison
Beer. Most level-headed football fans know that, like, if he has the right stuff,
He's really talented
enough.
Yeah.
If Sam Darnold can win a Super Bowl, why can Justin Herbert not get to a Super Bowl?
It's a great question, Bob. That's
By the
great
way,
question.
We had a great drop from our show on Friday. Forgot to point this out.
We got a new drop on the board?
Yeah. If you're ever going to travel this summer
okay,
and you're stuck in a pinch, This will be me on the show.
Do you need a ride to the airport?
Who is he giving a ride to the airport?
Justin Herbert missed their 2-week, like, broken up OTAs.
He missed the first part of OTAs because he was on Madison Beer's start of her world tour.
So he had to call Harbaugh.
Good for him, dude.
And tell him, hey, I'm going to go on tour. I'll be back for the other OTAs. And Harbaugh was, like, giddy about it. He's like, yeah, you know, we love Madison, and I was happy for him, and he's always here. And then he dropped,
do you need a ride to the airport?
That is so good. Oh,
it was,
it's fantastic.
Great, dude. I love that.
God, he is such a weird guy, but I can't look away.
Nobody's more in love with their starting quarterback. They're appreciative of him.
No, not even Andy Reid and Mahomes.
That's what I said.
It's not even it.
He changed his entire trajectory of his legacy, but Harbaugh's out here.
Do you need a ride to the airport?
He wants to be his Uber driver.
Gotcha. Let's get to some hot takes out of the NFL, and we'll open the final hour with that. We'll revisit Game 7 a little bit, some early peekaboo thoughts on the NBA Finals, which begin. Also, Tom Dundon's in the Stanley Cup Final, guys. Yeah. Tommy D.
Canadians,
Tommy Two Nichols.
Rolled over.
Yeah, that game sucked. But hopefully terrible. The Finals delivers. That starts tomorrow. So we got a lot to get to in the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.